David Anderson, one half of the Average Sports Show on Wednesday nights here on Sports Radio 610 with Sean Bajani. What's happening, DA?
You know, the hippos don't pay attention when those birds fly on their backs. That doesn't bother any of us. So.
I've never heard of that.
Wow.
I've always heard of the lion
you know,
and the
I mean,
sheep.
You want to get hitch a ride? Come on. You can make fun of me. Come on along for the ride. I can't promise it's going to be the best view or it's going to smell nice.
So the Rams,
but, you know, you'll be all right.
So the Rams can still eat this season. They'll still get fed.
I am a firm believer, and I've said this for years, is that Colorado State is the ideal place for an NCAA coach. You win 8 games in the Mountain West, which is garbage, and you are a hero in Fort Collins. You win 9, you are a saint. You win 10, they're talking, you'll probably be in Florida in no time. And that is so easy to do in the Mountain West. You play all the teams, and that means you got to win two out of conference games. I just don't know why they don't do it more often. It's frustrating to see because Colorado State, they have great facilities now. It's a great town.
Yeah,
they should win 9 games a year.
They should. Have they called you? You should give it a shot, DA.
I quit coaching years ago.
Okay, all right. So you were on. We just mentioned heading into the segment here. The Texans are 0-3 right now. So as you can imagine. It's a really fun time here in Houston right now to be talking about football.
You guys are running a suicide hotline. You guys aren't running a radio station, more or less. Now, huh?
Pretty close.
But DA, we talked about how this has only happened 3 other times in the history of the team, and it was all within a 4-year period. 05, 06, and 08, the team started 0-3. I know 06 was your rookie year, but 08, you were in the rotation at that point and part of the depth chart and everything else. And what do you recall?
Dang, I was part of 2 of those teams. That's pretty crappy.
Well, I was kind of like my whole thing about you being a rookie in 06 was like that wasn't really your fault.
It wasn't my fault. Yeah.
Yeah. But okay. what do you remember about getting off to those? In all seriousness, like what do you remember about getting off to those starts? And when you get into a situation like this, what are the most crucial things for this team right now to get this thing back on track?
You got to get the ball rolling, man. Like that's just the key, right? You got to like learn how to win again. You got to get that feeling. And you got to get this bad taste out of your mouth. And you got to, like, the NFL is not going to get easier, right? These teams aren't going to roll over for you. As a matter of fact, they know that you're hungry for a victory, so they're probably going to play you a little harder. Where if you're a 2-1 team or something, they're like, oh, yeah, they're pretty good, but here's how you beat them, which is probably what happened to Minnesota and Buffalo last week, right? They thought Buffalo was going to come in and roll over, and then, nope, they really want their first victory. So you got to realize no one's going to take it easy on you. You got to practice harder than if you won, and you got to fix some mistakes. And I mean, if people knew how to solve this, they would use it, right?
Yeah.
There is no solution. It's just you got to figure out how to win some football games. And I say this all the time: is NFL games typically come down to about 5 plays. And right now, when you watch Texans, I think they've been losing 4 of them.
Was there a moment, and by moment, I don't necessarily mean a single play or a moment on the practice field, might even be a game, but was there a moment in those seasons where something provided the impetus for salvaging the season?
I think it's when you realize we've lost games like this in the past, and I can't say you're only people in the locker room know exactly how they've lost games, right? When a moment comes up, whether it's a critical third down or a 4-minute drive where you need to close it out or a route that, you know, got tipped and was picked off last week and returned for 7 or something like that, where there's a moment in the game where you're like, oh, we did it right this week and we won. We can do this. Let's just keep doing this. And I think it's there. Those moments are there every week. Because you know, you basically kind of do the same. You know, you're playing football. It's not like they're going to change sports here. So those moments will be there this week. It's just about them seeing those moments, realizing what they did wrong last time, fixing it, and seeing how those lead to victory.
Yeah, feeling yourself do it, I guess, is the best way, or one way to put that. David Anderson joining us for his weekly visit. DA, you just sticking with this for a second. You know, you played for a head coach here that I think is similar to Bill O'Brien in this way, in that publicly, in front of the media, they're never going to point the finger at players. And I know Kubiak was a much – you said it Other guys have said it. He was a much different guy behind the scenes than he was sitting there saying everything's on him in front of the media. And I know fans in the media get frustrated when these coaches get up there and say, yeah, I got to fix that. I got to be better. I got to be this. I got to be that. Just give us the player's perspective on that when there's a head coach who's there, especially when times are going badly. Is that something that when you see a head coach that's doing that, what does that do? How does it register with players?
I don't know who owns sports radio 610.
Intercom.
Like, is there an owner?
Intercom.
Yeah. Like, what if Intercom got on and said, you know, Sean Pendergast, we would be doing a lot better in our drive time show if Sean Pendergast really knew how to, you know, do better Lou Holtz impressions, or if he, you know, if he actually knew something about the Astros, or if he actually played a couple of downs of football or something, right? And blames you for something where they know that you're giving it all. It would make you play less hard for that, or, you know, work less hard for that person. And that's what the key is, right? Is if the coach can take some of that blame that the fans and the players themselves know is probably on them, it lightens the load a little bit of you during the work week. And I think that's important, right? It's all about the guys in the room. You're not going to win any games by having great quotes. It doesn't matter, right? The Patriots are the least quotable team in NFL history. They're all just a bunch of robots, and they get told what to say earlier in the week. But they win football games, not this week, not this year. But like that's part of their kind of thing. As far as like what Bill O'Brien is doing behind the scenes, like you won't know that until the end of the year. And that's the way football goes. And that's the way all sports go, is that, you know, it'll come out. Something will be said at the end of the year, whether it's a player that gets cut and he has a comment, or a big free agent is leaving and he has a comment about the coaching staff or whatnot. But you just have to kind of trust. We're already in the process. You're in the thick of things. You're riding it out to the end of the season. And for better or for worse, like, this is the train we're all on here in Houston.
Total outsider looking intake on that media stuff with the coach. I think there's a lot of people that go, well, I wish O'Brien, or back in the day Kubiak, would point the finger at some players about something to hold them accountable. Okay. You know, to give them sometimes you need a kick in the ass. What percent of players you played with do you feel like needed a kick in the ass like that at some point?
No players get kicked in the butt plenty by media. They don't need it from media, and if anything, a lot of that kind of attention backfires. You play as an athlete. The one thing that never changes, no matter what level you play at, is you play for the guy next to you, right? But if the guy next to you respects your game and knows you're playing hard, you play hard, and you love that, and that's what you're ultimately looking for, is the respect of your teammates, and then the respect of your opponents. And you can see on a field when guys are disrespected by their own, and when they're disrespected by other team, by the opponent. So that's what they're playing for, and that's what the communication really matters. So, like, they get kicked in the butt plenty. You know, like, and you know it as a player. Like, I'll never forget, I had a couple bad plays, and the, you know, Monday meeting comes up, and I'm just like praying to God that this play isn't on the cut up. And all of a sudden, it's like that 3rd and 5, and I'm like, damn. Like, here it is. I'm going to get ripped into. Like, you know it's coming. And then, like, everyone else feels happy because it's not their cut up, and you got your head kind of down. You're like, all right, here comes my whooping. And you just get laid into. And that's where it's supposed to happen, in front of your peers, in front of your teammates. If a coach goes out and says something to the media but doesn't say it in front of the team, he'll lose the locker room in a hot second.
David, I want to get your take on something we discussed briefly earlier in the hour. The roughing the passer penalties are pretty much out of control. 4 more last night, and it's starting to feel like this is going to go the way of the helmet rule in the preseason, where there was literal interpretation for a time, and then an adjustment was made, and we were back to the kind of football we're used to seeing. I just hate the fact that this particular trial run took place during games that counted for the first 3 weeks of the season, and if they don't make any changes, it'll be maybe 4 weeks of the season. What's your takeaway from this whole process? Because you can't argue against trying to make it safer for players, but there's, I guess, a right way and a wrong way to do it.
I completely agree with you. Not only just games that counted, but plays that really counted, right? Like, And I'm not saying 15 yards at any time in the game doesn't matter, but when it's a 3rd and 20 and you flag Clay Matthews for getting to the quarterback and making what looks like an ordinary football tackle, turning that into a penalty is a joke. And everyone in football is sounding off on it. That you can't do that. You can't, as a defensive player, you can't play at full speed, hit a guy, and all of a sudden not like have your momentum take you on top of him. What they're trying to do is take away injuries. The problem is once you take away the ability to play full speed and to land naturally after hitting someone is how you create injuries. Like that's the problem is you have to play full speed to avoid injuries. And some people might think that's crazy, but that's what your body's used to, how it's used to moving. The minute you try to avoid injuries by going half speed is when someone runs over the back of you or when you get clipped up underneath your feet or when when you hit someone awkwardly and you have to bend at your waist and use your head instead of using your legs and tackle up through people. So, like, they have to be careful in what they're trying to do because you ultimately get rewarded for what you're measuring, right? And if they're measuring, how to take away a penalty and these guys learn that, like, oh, I can hit a quarterback like this, then they're gonna have the opposite effect of what they're really going out there trying to do. And I don't think they're measuring this the right way. I don't think they're measuring how to make the game safer in the right way.
Which one of your former teammates would have drawn the most penalties under these crazy rules?
Travis Johnson, but yeah. He draws the most penalties in any situation.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
In the restaurant.
I love Travis.
Yeah, I do too.
My favorite human, but like he's a penalty. He's gonna get a penalty.
He's getting one at some cigar shop right now as we speak.
Yeah, he's offside, personal foul. He's an Indian tip.
If you were struggling for an answer, I was gonna say Travis Johnson's the right answer for
Travis
this
Johnson,
all the time.
Travis Johnson.
And by the way, David, what you mentioned about injuries, it happened Sunday. William Hayes of the Dolphins trying to roll off Derek Carr and not draw a penalty, got his cleat caught in the turf, tore his ACL, done for the season.
Yeah, and then guys do other things too to hit quarterbacks, and it's not the situation in my opinion that you need to protect quarterbacks. They know that they're going to get hit throwing the ball. Sometimes they are fully aware that they're going to throw the ball and get hit. Like it's a chuck and duck situation. But the best quarterbacks don't get hurt. They don't put themselves in those situations. So that's not one you should try to protect. You should try to protect guys who can't help but get in this situation. Like lowering guys, the one they should have figured out is the running back to linebackers open field when those guys just put their heads like way down to knee level and hit each other. Like that's one they need to figure out.
Yep.
Less like, oh, quarterback wide open, getting, you know, suplex, so let's stop them from going to the ground. How are you going to stop that? When you're a quarterback, you're taught to make your body go limp. And so you do end up going to the ground because it's a lot safer than turning in, you know, having a car collision. It's like hitting a parked car instead.
Yep. David Anderson, he is co-host of the Average Sports Show on Wednesday nights. DA, what's the topic for tomorrow night?
Getting back up. Or when you're backed against the wall, what are you going to do? You're going to get back up? You're going to fight? You know, it looks like the Texans a little bit here has their back against the wall. What happens when, how do people react? Not just the people with their back against the wall, but all of those around them. What do you do when your back's against the wall? So that's what we're talking about this week.
Good stuff. Sean Bajani and David Anderson. David Anderson joins us each and every week at this time. DA, you guys are doing a great job. We appreciate you joining us as always. We'll catch up next Tuesday with you, bud.
Awesome time, guys. And we're going to crush Illinois State Panthers, or whatever the heck their name is. Who cares?
Who cares? Yeah, stop picking on DA,
B-Mac.
Take the over. We'll see you next week. See ya.
Bye.
David Anderson, the rare former athlete who can speak fluent gambling, if you would like him to as well.
Mm-hmm.